College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I am your co-host, JP John Paz, from the two-man power trip of wrestling. And of course, I'm joined by the star of the show, the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion. He is, of course, the man behind the NWO, one of the greatest bookers and minds ever in the history of professional wrestling. He is Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fine, John. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing very good. Very, very good. It's great to talk to the Taskmaster, the Games Master. But, you know, what I really wanted to get into today was a topic that was the one I think that was probably requested the most. We've had some other topics on the show that was definitely highly regarded and people wanted to talk about it and get your response from. But this one, I feel like, has been requested the most over the time. And this is all about the Crippler, Chris Benoit, arguably your greatest rival. You are arguably his greatest rival. And it was one of those feuds where, whoo, man, you guys lit each other up. So when did you first see of him, hear of him, know of him?
I was not in WCW at the time. I was working in Japan, and I had seen him as Bobby Eaton's partner. And I said, this kid's got it. He's got it. He could break the mold of the hype area. Mm-hmm. They might have told you there was no hype barrier in professional wrestling at the time to be a world champion, but there was. And he was so intense. He was, you know what I'd say about willing suspension of disbelief? Mm-hmm. He made you believe everything he did. He was one. We won match of the year when I wrestled in Baltimore, and I think we were runner up in the San Francisco match of the year, and runner up in another match of the year. And it wasn't because of me; it was because of Chris. He was so intense, and he would light you up, but he didn't mind getting lit back up. And the other thing about Chris, he looked like he was taking your head off. He looked like he was taking your head off, but he wasn't. Yeah, he was what back in the day we called a very smooth work. He was a Ray Stevens type, a Pat Patterson type. He was from the old school. He was he was the closest thing to the Dynamite Kid I ever saw. And if you looked at them, they looked, their appearance was similar, their builds were similar, their moves were similar. It was an amazing thing to watch those two in the ring. And I've seen some tapes, John, and you can help me out here. Have you ever seen many tapes of them? I don't know if there's many tapes of them. I would love to see their performance, because just regular matches they had were some of the best matches on the card, including Tiger Mask. I mean, you know, they say the camera doesn't lie, and it certainly doesn't lie on, you know, Benoit, and you can go down the list, Benoit Malenko, Benoit and Chavo, Junior, Eddie, Hector, you can go down the list. And I'm sure there's some Japanese guys I'm leaving out. Fit Finley and Regal, some of the greatest matches I've ever seen. But I'm missing out on guys that wrestled that were in England that maybe we never got a chance. Maybe they didn't tape as much as we did. You think that's possible, John?
Or it's harder for us to get some of the footage. But yeah, if tape traders and tape collectors, they know Rollerball Rocco, who was a great one, Robbie Brookside, great one. Some Japanese guys like Liger, and obviously when Benoit wrestled him, I mean, they tore it up. Samurai tore it up. Eddie Guerrero, when he was over in Japan with Benoit, was just amazing. Yeah, there's so many great matches and great talents that we wish we saw a lot of. And if you can get a hold of it, Tiger Mask versus Dynamite Kid, and those series of matches are some of the greatest matches ever.
Yes, and I agree 1,000%. And they made it. The thing that was so amazing to me, there was no out and out heel. It could be a guy could be a heel in, we'll say, London, and then he would go to Blackpool and he'd be a babyface because the people would take him that way. And they had some spectacular Les Thornton, the older guys. Les Thornton, the Tony Charles, the Billy Robinsons. I mean, I can go on. When I was a kid, I was a huge fan of English wrestling because I thought they made it look so real. And I really enjoyed the English wrestling. And I got the magazine. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. His father was one of the promoters of joint promotion. Steve Clements. Sir Steve Clements was a manager and a worker. He was a great performer and became a worker in the United States. And Steve would gave me these books and I would look at it. And I mean, they had incredible series of pictures, I guess because they knew how to, that they had seen these guys take so many bumps that they knew the continuation of the moves. They were really spectacular.
Now, as far as Benoit, we're saying all these great workers, he's right up there. If not the top, he's probably in the top five greatest workers or greatest technicians of all time. But who is actually responsible for bringing him into WCW? Bischoff mentions it. A lot of people think that they got him from ECW, but Bischoff is always talking about how they had their eye on New Japan Pro Wrestling, and that's where they kind of saw Benoit and wanted him. Obviously, Benoit, if you really think about it, was actually in WCW before he was in ECW because he was there for a while. He was on a lot of Clash of Champions. He was on a couple pay-per-views. If you watch Super Brawl 93, he's got a great match against Too Cold Scorpio on there. So, I mean, he's been around the block, but how does he make his return to WCW, and who's kind of scouting him? Is Bischoff scouting him from New Japan, or are you bringing him in?
At that period, Eric had brought him in, and if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he mostly Bobby's partner at this time?
Earlier on, yes, but when they bring him back in, he was, they did team.
That's where I'm going.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay. And then I saw what they brought to the table, meaning Benoit, Eddie, Chris, Perry Satin, I may be missing somebody, but I don't think I am. And I called Paul. Paul and I were friends, and I didn't want to leave him out to dry. And I tried to do what we used to do when we were territories and had some respect for one another. Maybe I didn't understand that putting people out of business was a good thing, but I understood that if you put people out of business, that you would sometimes cost people and their families jobs. So I would call Paul, and I would say to Paul, I even did it when I left there. I said, Paul, I'd like to get them in 6 weeks. If that's not possible, when do you think I can get them? And he would say, he knew it was going to happen. He knew they were going to be able to pay these guys that he couldn't afford. He couldn't afford to pay those guys that kind of money. And Paul, like I said, Paul and I had a great relationship. And Paul would say, if I can keep them for 8 weeks, I got a big show 8 weeks from now. And I would go to Eric and I'd say, hey, Eric, listen, it isn't going to hurt us. It isn't going to hurt us. They have their own clientele. It's going to hurt their company, but it's also going to hurt their families. I wish, and Eric, you know, you hear things about Eric not being a nice guy. Eric's a good guy. Anytime I went to Eric and said that, he would, you know, he played the tough guy role and say, but you could see he would say, okay, if 6 weeks I won, but 8 weeks, what's the difference? Eric is a very humane person. I hadn't spoken to Eric like in 20 years. When I spoke to him, I said, I'd like to speak to you. Can we step outside? And I said to him, you were very good to me at some of the toughest times of my life. And I want to thank you. And he was unanimously such a good guy to say, oh, you don't have to do that. Well, I did, because at that period of time, for me, I wasn't the best guy in the world. And he was a super, super guy. And we could have squashed Paulie inside of a month. I'm not gonna, let's put it this way, John. If we went and offered almost everybody, except maybe Shane Douglas and maybe Taz, $200,000 that were all left in a day, do you believe that?
Yes, I believe it.
Especially since he owed the money, right?
Yep.
Eric was a gentleman. Eric was a gentleman. It might have cost him in the long run, but not really in the long run, because Eric can put his head down at night and say he did the right thing.
So you obviously loved Benoit as far as what you saw. Did Bishop see him and like him, or is he taking your opinion?
The problem, I think, back then was they saw, Eric saw them as vanilla midgets, where I saw them as talented performers. And the thing was, you got to remember, let's go to back then. You had Hogan. You had Nash. You had Hall. You had Adam Bomb. You had Crush. You had Scott Norton. You had
a lot of big guys.
Yeah,
the land of the giants. Yeah,
I'm just thinking of who else could be. Oh, we had Typhoon and One Man Gang. We had Rick Rude. We had huge guys. Column Heat, huge guys. Sid, Goldberg. And then we have guys that look like a guy that's an average looking guy. And because of that, we created a great thing called the Cruiserweight Championship. I was trying to be alert that how did I make the Cruiserweight Champion as tough as the regular guys when Eddie won the Cruiserweight belt. I think I might be wrong. Was it 3 or a month later he won the U.S. Heavyweight title?
I don't remember the timing of it, but I know he was both Cruiserweight champion. He was U.S. champion. Probably wasn't too far off from one another.
Yeah, so I was showing that size didn't matter. And then the famous Nash and Ray Mysterio match. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Big upset.
Yeah, and they hadn't lost. Kevin had lost up until that time. And it also, you know, a lot of people don't understand Kevin Nash because he can say he's the wittiest guy I know in the wrestling business. And he can say things to irritate you. I think he does it just to irritate you, and you don't know where he's coming from. And I'll get back to that. And, you know, then he goes out and puts Rey Mysterio over. Everybody's going, oh, wow, I put Rey Mysterio over. They must have fucking told him he had to do it. No, they didn't tell Kevin. Kevin knew that it was the right thing for business. There was a great line that Kevin said one time. Him and I had an argument one time, and he called me up in the hotel room, and I came down, and someone said, what could have happened? And he said, I might have hurt my head hitting the door jamb trying to get at him. So, I mean, Kevin is I've seen Kevin take some bad knocks when he's nothing more than a wrestling fan just like us. And I think that's why, Kevin, I have a connection. I think that's why the kid, Scott Hall, and I have a connection. It's because we're wrestling fans. We're wrestling fans. Now, was Kevin going to put a guy Ray size over? No. But, you know, and he knew, if you remember, Scott Hall put the 1-2-3 kid over, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
He didn't do it right away. He made the kid work at it. He made the kid earn it. And he made, when it happened, it wasn't the first night out, the people popped and said, oh my God, we didn't see this. The three of them, Nat Hall and the kid, could book any place and make the place better. Without question, without question.
So when Benoit's about to kind of move away from the cruiserweights, and you know, obviously he's climbing the ladder in WCW, doing quite well, the kind of big thing that happens to him, and we're kind of skipping over some major points here, but you know, he's going to have some great matches with Jericho, and he's going to have a great match with Liger, and he's going to go through WCW. But the big point to me is when you make him a Four Horsemen. Is that your decision to put him in the Four Horsemen with Arn, yeah, Rick, and Brian Pillman, or is that Rick and Arn's decision?
Well, I went to them because it was their group, and I said, I'd like to put Brian in with you guys, and they just jumped at it. They said, there's no one more suitable than Chris. I said, I just want to hear you say that. And it was true. It was true.
So did you have to, I guess you didn't really have to convince them at all that he could be a horseman, but was there any sort of like long negotiations or talks, or was it just that quick? Like, nope, I want him in the horseman. He's in.
It was, I got to ask you guys a question. They had around, what is it? I'd like to put Chris Benoit in the horseman. Super, super. We want it. Yeah. Great, Kev. Thanks. We love it. Both.
He does fit the Horsemen just perfectly. And I love that Four Horsemen. It's kind of an underrated, and they weren't around long enough because of the Pillman stuff and kind of ended it quickly. But Benoit, Pillman, Arn, and Flair was, I think, an awesome, underrated, although short-run, Four Horsemen.
I also said, could you imagine if they had stayed a little longer? There was, you know, and there's been some great Four Horsemen. Barry Windham. I have a special spot in my heart for Barry Windham, and to me, Barry Windham will always be a Four Horseman. But as time got progressed, and I'm not trying to belittle Ric Flair at all, the greatest world champion of all time, but he could have stepped back and been a coach sometimes, and it would have been, look at the talent, Barry and Jericho and Chris.
Malenko, yeah. Or Pillman. Yep.
Yeah. Can you think of any better working?
No, those are like kind of the top work rate guys, if you really think about it. Especially, you know, Dean and Chris and Arn and Barry, they're all known as some of the greatest workers of all time. Undertaker just said Arn's the greatest technical wrestler ever in his mind. So that's a great group of workers right there.
Oh, that's and it was nice to hear, to me, the greatest money drawer in the history of wrestling say that about another guy that doesn't get his due. Arn Anderson, to me, is the hardest working man in show business. And on the flip side of the coin, nobody has ever drawn the money that The Undertaker has drawn for 25 years now.
30 years.
For 30 years, nobody's ever drawn the money. And here's something, kids who listen to us that want to be pro wrestlers. Up until this year, he never broke character. He never said, oh, we had such a great match. See you next week. I love the juice. Were you stupid? If you want to learn how to hit, you fucking learn how to hit from getting a Ted Williams encyclopedia. if you want to learn how to throw touchdown passes, you get a Tom Brady book. If you want to learn how to draw money in professional wrestling, you get a Undertaker book. You don't do it any other way.
You got Chris Benoit in the main event against Sid Vicious for the vacant WCW World title because Bret Hart is injured, had to give it up. So Benoit is kind of going to take the place of Bret here versus Sid, but it's going to be for the vacant title, obviously. So you're saying you took some hard kind of taking to get Sid to even agree to job to Benoit.
What I'm saying is, John, go into a room with a guy 6'7", and his opponent's 5'7". The other guy's Jack 290. The other guy's 215. One guy has a huge contract. One guy got a very good contract. You're dealing with a guy that hasn't done a lot of jobs in his career. But it goes to show you the respect Benoit had, and goes to show you that sometimes people don't understand that some people get stuck with bad labels. I always found Sid Vicious to be pro. When I went and talked to him, he was man enough to say, I don't think this is the right thing to do it in front of Benoit. I said, well, I really need to get this belt on Benoit. And he said, well, I don't think it's the right thing, but if you're asking me to do it, I'm going to do it. I said, I'm asking you to do the favor, please. And he said, yeah, I'll do it. I trust you. So he went out and put Benoit over. And if you remember, he tapped out.
With Arn Anderson as the ref and with his foot under the rope, is that just in case something happened? Why was Sid's foot under the rope? Is that a safety precaution there?
That was a fail safe for me. I mean, as this match, before the match was going on, there was a lot of stuff happening. And I told Sid, I just want, in case we need a backup plan, put your foot underneath the rope. I didn't think we were going to need the backup plan, but lo and behold, we did.
Now, why the failsafe? Because of all the issues with Benoit?
Yeah, not just Benoit, the whole thing. You know, I mean, this wasn't one night that they decided, you know, they didn't want me, Graham, Nash, JJ, you know, they wanted a purge of the office. This wasn't just one night they decided it. You know, they've been talk about it, and then their attitude was a little different. And I just thought, well, you know, this got to appease everybody that he's winning the belt, but in case something happens, I got an out here. I don't want the guy appearing in WWE like Flair did as, you know, WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
So did he beforehand say, because it's been said by a few people, I don't know if Malenko said it or not, but Bruce Pritchard said it. Sometimes Bruce Pritchard's not the most honest person. Who knows how he would even know this anyway. But was it told to you from Benoit he did not want to win the title?
No. Who, Bruce Pritchard said that?
There was, I think on his podcast, I think he does it on purpose. He just embellishes some stories. I think he said he heard it secondhand. Obviously, he wouldn't know. But I think Malenko might have said it in an interview as well, where he said, oh, I don't think Benoit wanted to win the title. Is that true at all?
If it was, it was unbeknownst to me. He never said it, you know.
So it's possible he said it to Dean, but he never expressed it to you.
Right. Possible. I would think that Dean wouldn't come out and say that unless there was some truth to it, but he didn't say it to me. And then when Sid said he didn't want to do the job, that would have been the perfect opportunity to say, okay, you don't want to do the job, I'll put you over, put Sid in a bad position. But he didn't.
So when Benoit wins, he immediately with you, is there any sort of like, hey, you're happy. You should be appeased now. Is he kind of pretending to be happy? Is he saying, I don't even want to be champion? What happens when he wins the title?
I said, thank you very much. We're going to do business and I'm going to have you work with Nash and trade the belt 6-8 months down the line. And that was the last I ever saw from Benoit.
Interesting thing is with that, you think he would be happy. Like, you know what I mean? Like they were kind of complaining that they weren't getting their spots, weren't getting pushed. And I know you said they weren't happy with the office. They want a complete redo, but he's the champion now. So he is the top guy. That is what they wanted, isn't it?
Well, here's something that no one has ever talked about. When they walk in, Bruce Pritchard, I'm sure, hasn't talked about this. When they walked over, they were given the keys of the kingdom. They had together gone into the office and got a huge raise, the four of them. And I remember Eric telling people he was never going to do collective bargaining again. Where do you have the confidence that you're making $750,000 a year, that you can walk over to another company and do as well, if not better, and have a straight line, unless you've been talking to them for a while? That's, you know, if I was a lawyer, I'd bring that question up, right? I mean, $750,000 a year in 2000 is a lot of money. It's a lot of money today. And they walked over and they were featured immediately. So it wasn't that everybody on WWE didn't know how talented they were, but are you going to rock the boat at this period, unless you've talked to guys? I think what I'm saying is they were so desirable that I think WWE would have matched anything we gave them and gave them more merchandise and everything else. But there had to be some talks there, I would think. Would you?
Honestly, it would lead to yes or lean towards yes, just because it was pretty smooth transition to get quickly over there, literally within 2 weeks.
Right.
Seemed
and they didn't miss a paycheck.
Right. So
have Bruce ask that question. You know, it's crazy how fragile wrestlers' egos are.
And the guys were all paranoid, right?
Back then, yeah.
So as Eddie's making his way up the ranks, he's going to feud with Conan a little bit. You have a U.S. title match, doesn't get the win. But then he starts having a little feud with the Horsemen, a little bit of a feud with Flair. They have a match at Hogwild. Pretty damn good match. That's like a big step up in competition. Like, if you think about it, yes, he's a great wrestler, but now he's getting name recognition, guys. I mean, huge name recognition, guys. So right, getting to share a ring with Ric Flair.
Is he moving up?
Oh, he's moving on up. Oh, big time.
Okay, so why do they say they're held back? Why do people say they were held back?
I don't know, really, because to me, not really. Like, if you just look at their career, like, look who, you know, I mean, look who's wrestling stuff. To me, not really. I know WWF, he was ultimately the world champion. Could have got there, maybe, if he would have stayed. Obviously, Benoit was the world champion if he would have stayed. It's one of those things.
They got the belt and left the next day.
Right. It's a false narrative again with those. Yep, for sure. So then he starts a big feud
with DDP. He eventually wins a tournament for the vacant WCW United States Championship. He, of course, defeated DDP in the finals at Starrcade 96, which was a huge show, great show. So there, that's a big leap. He's U.S. champion. He beats DDP. He wins this tournament, basically solidifying himself at least upper mid-card for sure right there.
Oh, but more than upper mid-card. Knocking on the door.
Yeah.
He's wrestling Ric Flair. He's beating Paige. He's won the tournament. Was in the team. He's knocking on the door, my friend.
He then beats Scott Norton. He's beaten Jericho at Super Brawl. He has that big ladder match with Six that I love. Great ladder match that sold out. So one of the few guys on that card that, you know, getting a win, too,
The NWO. Let me ask you something. Who did he just beat? On a ladder match. Wasn't that an NWO member?
Yes. At their own pay-per-view. It sold out.
So he beat him at the own pay-per-view in a ladder match. And he beat an NWO member, a founding father of the NWO. Mm-hmm.
Six-pack, yep.
So they're being held back.
I don't think so. I think that might be a false narrative. But yeah, I agree.
Dark Side of the Ring has their own spin on it. If you've seen that documentary, know something, folks. Not all documentaries are true. Just to throw that out there. Not everything you see in a documentary is true. Even though if those guys do a great job on some other series, not everything is 100% true and factual. Just to throw that out there. Just so people know that. I wanted to make sure that I actually stamped that and absolutely want them to know that.
Why? What did they say?
Well, Dark Side of the Ring kind of spun it in a negative light towards you, and some of that stuff I know for a fact isn't true. As far as just speaking to some other people that you know and some friends of yours, and speaking to you in the past about it, some of the stuff that they put out there was definitely false. We'll just say.
And they talked to other people.
They talked to Nancy's sister. She was on there. You know, they talked to all the other wrestlers. They talked to Jericho and Chavo, but they didn't really give all the particulars about you. It seemed like the documentary was kind of painting you in a bad light, almost putting the gimmick you have, making it seem like the gimmick was more real and that you were, a heel, quote unquote, heel or a devil.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, and then they said some stuff that isn't true if you really look into it. But I don't want to go too far into it because of some other matter. And just, you know, to be respectful, but I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that documentary that they did isn't all right.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. And he was a very, very good performer. And I'm sure her mother and father miss her every day. Her mother and father were wonderful people. They're part of my life for a long time. And I hate to think that they go through this every day. So with that, let's end it on a high note. Hopefully, they're on the mend.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We loved the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good drop kick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
What'd you think of that Coliseum in the morning?
It was fabulous. Where are we going next?
Mon chéri, ça va être magnifique.
We're going to Paris.
Oh. Kevin, doesn't life suck?
I might be coming home, and I might not be. Then again, I might be home for myself. I'm not cold anymore.
What's it like coming home at night? An empty house, Kevin. What's it like on those late night walks along the beach alone? Has it finally set in? Have you finally faced the truth? What's it feel like being a loser? What's it feel like losing the most important thing you ever had? I'll tell you what, it sure feels great gaining it. Cheers.
Hey, Kevin. Obviously, I'm not at my mother's. And obviously, I'm not in the Keys. I'm definitely not in the Bahamas, honey. And I know you can't find me. I told you.
that when I was planning on leaving, you couldn't find me. I meant it. You can't find me. I really meant it in Baltimore when I said that if you kicked him one more time, I meant it was over. I meant it. You don't hurt somebody this way and get away with it. This is not 1950. This is 1996. You know, women have rights. We can vote. You know, you get that cute little comment you tell the boys all the time in the bar, but it's not funny. And I don't like it. This is 1996. I do what I want, when I want. I have nothing to do with NWO, do I, Chris?
Sullivan, you talk about us making the same mistakes. I don't think I've made any mistake. You talk about kicking some sense into me. To be talking like that, you obviously need a little sense kicked into yourself.
Waiter.
You talk about being the best chess player at this game. Well, Sullivan, my bishop takes your queen. Checkmate.
All right, Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan, your reaction. Kevin, your reaction to what we've just seen.
Come on, Kevin, let's get out of here. Come on.
3, 2, 1. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. So join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Sullivan20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in the Shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxers as free gifts to give to you to keep all your goodies stored nice and comfortably to go along with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside that Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Sullivan20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code Sullivan20. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code TASKMASTER to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code TASKMASTER and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code TASKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with my bookie.
Hey. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline. And low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the ultimate test stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code, Taskmaster, to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two or, you know, what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code TASKMASTER to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer.
Oh, we didn't need to see that.
Let's hope Kevin didn't see it.
That's the last thing.
For Arn Anderson's sake.
The last thing we needed to see. My goodness. Just doing what I'm told here. Wait a minute.
No film. You're a marked man, Shimani.
No, I think
Benoit is.
I think
Arn Anderson is right now. And the frame of mind Sullivan's in.
Let me say this. If they're gonna go to Paris, fine. Stay there. Don't come stateside. Don't face this man right now who's gonna take out his entire wrath on the entire horseman. Arn Anderson is one of the toughest the sport has ever seen. One of the most determined and one of the most fearless. So he is not at all worried about going into this ring.
And notice how he's walking to the ring. He's not taking his time. He's not surveying the situation. He is going right to the ring to fight Kevin Sullivan. Look at the eyes. Look at the eyes on that man.
Remember, he turned. Oh, here we go. So he has had a long story past with the Taskmaster. And you can better believe with every blow here, Kevin Sullivan is thinking about woman, is thinking about Benoit, is thinking about what has happened to his love life.
Kevin just bit a hole in his stomach. I mean, forget the rules, forget the referee, forget the match. This thing isn't going to be a... Who cares who wins this one?
Yeah, this is not a match.
No.
The steel chair up against the face of Arn Anderson. Jimmy Hart as the referee. The referee is not going to even come to play here.
I wouldn't get inside the ring. Let him fight.
Oh, watch out!
I'm not sure if this is false count anywhere or not. I don't believe it is, but I don't think that even matters to Sullivan or Anderson.
Today, this is called a fight.
I don't even think false count.
Nothing counts to these two.
Look at Sullivan. He's measuring Arn. Look at those blows.
And he's got Arn down.
There is fire behind those blows by Kevin Sullivan. Sending Arn Anderson out. Anguish.
Anderson has not had one bit of offense.
Anguish buried deep inside of Kevin Sullivan is coming out. Here they go. They are in the gallery at Nitro, and you are watching live.
You better get word back to the men's room to get everybody out of there, because that's usually where they're headed.
The referee says get back in the ring.
Good luck.
Yeah, Mark Curtis, you better run for your life. What a fight we got. Anderson, Sullivan, there you see it.
Only on Nitro.
I've had a referee losing control before, but this has taken that to all new levels.
Well, they finally went back within the safety rail, and that's good. I tell you, the safety of the fans as well as the safety of the wrestlers here.
Hey, something new. They're in the ring.
How about it? Arn Anderson now choking Sullivan. He's going to try to tie him up. It's the best thing to do. Tie the man up. Don't let him get out of the corner.
And keep him down and kick him. Kick him like a dog if you have to.
Down goes the referee.
Oh. He DDT'd Mark Curtis.
And why not?
Well, why not?
Yeah, why not? I mean, like we said, forget about it being a match. Oh. Double stomp on Arn Anderson. In a regular match, that could win it for the Taskmaster, but this is bitterness.
Oh, he doesn't care.
He's going to hang him up on the tree of woe. Stopped him in his tracks. And Arn Anderson, here comes Hugh Morse of the Dungeon of Doom.
Good night.
There goes Hugh Morse of the Dungeon of Doom. Conan.
Good night.
Jimmy Hart calling for the troops from the back, and he gets dumped into the ring.
Here comes Big Bubba. He got a wood chair that time and splintered it across the back of Double A.
He can't count to three. Don't even know where he's at.
Two.
It doesn't matter.
Three. The Taskmaster wins. Conan. Steve Mongo McMichael out a little bit too late. Big Bubba helping Kevin Sullivan.
You shouldn't have played that video.
And a word of warning for Chris Benoit that you are next. We have seen, and Arn Anderson has felt, the wrath of Kevin Sullivan. And more Nitro Live next.